Good day, good day, good day. I want to welcome you to the Holistic Life Podcast. And this is the place where we are talking about all things holistic, spirit, soul, body, and mind. And I am delighted and honored to be back here with you on for this new episode where we are going to be interviewing those that are operating and working within the mental health, the emotional health, and all the full spectrum of wellness. And I am super delighted today to have a very special guest and also a sister in the Lord here with us. And I'm going to go ahead and not belabor our time, but I'm going to go ahead and bring her up to the stage. And I want you all to just greet DeAndrea Bolden. Again, just welcome here to the Holistic Life Podcast. It is a delight to have you here. Let me just read a little bit of her bio, what she sent over, so that we can get an idea of what we're going to be talking about and the depth of what we're going to be talking about. But DeAndrea, she is a prolific author. She is a light of knowledge in the realms of mental health, corporate wellness, and also faith-based support. She brings an extensive educational background. She has degrees in psychology, chemistry, counseling, medical sciences, and to the forefront, what we're going to be talking about tonight is our holistic health discussions. And so she has a new book that is coming out, and I can't wait to hear more about it. So welcome, 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 DeAndrea, on tonight here to the Holistic Life Podcast.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be your guest today.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You were the first person that really came to my mind when I thought, you know, I'm going to have some people that I know that are in the trenches that are doing the work. And so you were actually the first person. So I was honored that that you said that you wanted to be here and just to have a discussion on tonight. And so I want to just start off by inviting our listeners into your journey, especially when it comes to writing and speaking about holistic health, and especially within the Christian community. How did that journey begin for you?
Just writing in general?
Yes.
I wrote my first book in second grade.
Wow.
and I won a Young Authors Award.
Wow.
I can say for me, as far as writing, that is, I did write poetry when I was a kid. I do remember doing that. I did get a poem published, I think maybe when I was somewhere between like middle school, high school. As far as I can remember, I've always written things down. I've always been one to write things down. I'm a very visual person, even to this day. I am a lover of pens and journals. I've always loved pretty pens and pencils and neat journals and paper and cutesy stuff. I've just always loved that kind of stuff. And so I never really thought or considered myself to be a writer, maybe until, you know, more recently. I will say that the first thing I began to write as an adult was plays. I actually started writing stage plays, screenplays, and things like that. I haven't done those things in quite a while. I plan on getting back to it, but it was actually more writing for theater and film and television and stuff like that. Then later on, probably, you know what? I take that back. I wrote my first book back in 2005 or 2006. I take that back. Then there was another one and maybe like couple more, maybe like 2007, 2008. And then I did a television show. I did a talk show. It aired nationally through the NRB network. I did that for a while. And then I was doing plays and things like that. And then there was a pause. I was doing, you know, the whole college thing and the world of academia. And then I started writing again, maybe more like 2015, 2016, as far as books. And so I've written several books since then. I don't even know how to really call it a journey. It just, things will just come to me and I just begin to write. I'm not really sure, you know, who all is in the audience, but I'm very, and I don't really like saying I'm a spiritual person. When I say that, I mean that from a biblical perspective.
Yes.
I believe in being led by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so for those that understand what that means, you know, those promptings, those prompts and different things will come. And then I will just begin to write. And so probably from 2015 until now, I've written a few books. I can't really think off the top of my head as far as how many, but the latest one, and I'll talk about it later, that I wrote is the only one that I wouldn't say is just straight for the church, just for mm-hmm. the church community. This mm-hmm. one is a little different. This one is definitely different, definitely ties into the theme of this podcast. So when I saw it, I was very excited. As far as, you know, like getting into the whole holistic realm. But writing was a journey. Even in my my vocation, you know, over the years, my career has kind of led me towards, you know, writing professionally. So kind of writing is everywhere, you know, writing for the Lord and writing for a living. And so yes. I find myself writing in a lot of different capacities. And that's kind of the, I can't really, the, I've never been asked a question like that. So I was like, well, how do I really answer this? So yeah, hope that answered.
Yes, it did. Because it is interesting to see the journey and the evolution. Like you started, writing, you know, as a child, then writing like screenplays and things like that. And now, you know, it's evolved even into, you know, just what you, like you said, into the academia and talking about, you know, deliverance and mental health and different things like that. And so that is always interesting just to see how we evolve, you know, to be who we are and to become who we are. So I want to ask, you know, when you look at some of the maybe the last couple of books that you have written, mm-hmm. When you're talking about having this focus on the intersection of mental health, corporate well-being, and faith-based initiatives, where did that inspiration come from?
I will say, I think the inspiration was, I began to see, I was working on, I was in grad school, and I was doing a class, and one of the books was talking about the integration of faith and mental health. Now, this mm-hmm. book was very long and very exhaustive. It started, you know, it was talking a lot about like history and the history. I mean, we going back hundreds of years, and it helped me better understand the disconnect in the realm of faith and science, or faith and mental health, however you want to put mm-hmm. it. I am a science junkie. And so, you know, I've studied chemistry, you know, biology, medical sciences, all that stuff. But I also am one that is a lover of the Lord. And so a lot of times in the world of science, there are a lot of believers, but there's also a lot of people that don't believe. Mm-hmm. And that may even scoff when it comes to being a person of faith. But then I also find that in the faith realm, there are people that can completely dismiss science and think that everything in life is spiritual in nature, even though we are tangible human beings. Wow. So for me, I wanted to begin to try to merge those two worlds. Not because they are the same, but because they are both necessary. Mm-hmm. It's great. I love it. You know, we need to learn about the gifts of healing and gifts of faith, but it's nothing wrong with learning about ways to take care of yourself better. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with learning about what's going on with your health and what's happening in your body and how different things happen. So I think sometimes the whole one thing I've seen just in general in life, in every sector, in the religious, you know, community, secular community, we always have this and this, this or it's always, you know, this or that, instead of realizing that sometimes it's and, because sometimes two things can be true. And so you can love God and you can be in a bad place mentally. You can love the Lord and your health can be declining. You can love Jesus and your spirit be crushed. And so we have to understand that sometimes more than one thing can be happening at one time. But because of the way a lot of people have been taught, it's hard sometimes to help people to realize and recognize it's okay to realize that two things can be true. Now we tend to be a little more lenient, you know, okay, well, you know, high blood pressure, but then, you know, we'll knock someone if they're taking medication for a mental health issue. I remember my husband literally was just telling somebody, my husband has worked in psychiatric hospitals and have worked directly, you know, in those type of settings. And he was one that was adamant against that stuff. Working in that capacity absolutely changed his mind. And I think sometimes we have to realize that we shouldn't want people to suffer. Mm-hmm. And number two, we have to, you know, a lot of times our opinions are very strong in areas where we haven't done a lot of studying. We haven't. You know, I can't, you know, you can speak in tongues all day. You can't go and challenge a doctor at the Mayo Clinic that is going through years of education, years of research, you know. So I think sometimes we have to recognize that there are professionals in different aspects for a reason. And there's nothing wrong with us thinking for ourselves and having our own thinking. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think sometimes we have to realize that we may not always be as correct as we think we are. And I'm talking about just in the general, in the church world, you know, everything is a demon. Everything is demonic. Everything requires deliverance. The list of demons is getting longer by the day. And because we don't want to ever look at anything practically. So for me, I just want to show people that, you know, it's okay to recognize that you may not be at your best mentally, and it's okay to get help. I want people in the science world to know that's great that you've done all the studies, but some things you cannot quantify. Some things you're not going to be able to get data for. Some things are going to go outside of the understanding of science. And so two things can be true. That's just kind of my mindset with that.
I love how you put that. And you know, it can be very frustrating, you know, when you are, I'll just say pioneering a new thought, a new way of thinking, you know, in these areas where it's almost like there's these strongholds in people's mind where they don't want to unlearn, to relearn something else that is really going to make life just not just better, but to have an understanding of why certain things are. And so I love that. When you talk about, or when you think about some of the those strongholds or those mindsets that we have, what are some of the common misconceptions about holistic health that you encounter, and how do you address them, you know, in your space?
So when you say misconceptions, do you mean as far as, you know, the faith community or?
Yes.
I think if I'm going to be honest and look at it from from all sides, I think sometimes as believers, we overlook the natural and the practical. You know, I'll see people, there's nothing wrong for praying with praying prayer. Prayer is always in order, but to pray for someone's health and then they go to KFC and get a 10-piece bucket of chicken with fries and biscuit and drink, you can be working against your prayers, literally.
Right.
And so sometimes I find in the faith community, when it comes to holistic health, is us not looking at the things that we can do. I believe that when it comes to faith, I'm believing God for things that I cannot do and where I need him. God has given me the ability. I'm not going to pray and ask God for, you know, feverishly for a cup of tea when it's within my ability. See, it's different. If it's not in my ability, it's one thing, but it's in my ability to get in my car, drive around the block to Starbucks and get in the drive-thru and get a cup of tea. And so I don't say that to try to be funny. Sometimes I think when it comes to our holistic health, we leave out the area where we're responsible. It's the same thing with deliverance. We have to understand that there's some things that we are accountable to do. And so I can pray all day, but just like I told my husband, I said, my gym bag will be at the door. He's putting me a schedule together. These are the days and the times I'll be at the gym, blah, 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 you know, blah, 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 blah. I can't expect that area to get better with no effort on my part.
That's true.
I also, when it comes to holistic health in general, it also can be a rabbit hole. And I, for one, have avoided that area. And I think I mentioned it in the book, and I'll get to that later. But I think I mentioned that because holistic health and mental wellness have become a dumping ground for kind of all things new age. You know, people are literally trying to go to therapy, and the therapist is coming out with tarot cards. And it's like, this has nothing to do with clinical mental health counseling. A lot of people, in the name of alternative healing, a lot of these things are being intersected and implemented into holistic health and mental wellness. Now, I do believe as far as holistic health, there is a spiritual component. However, the thing is, whenever we're talking about, you know, especially in a mental health or just a regular clinical health setting, you know, any type of integrated services, a person has to agree, especially, you know, mental health, if you want someone to provide integrated, but that the thing is, they're not doing that. I found that a lot of people in the space of mental health and mental wellness are simply just taking these practices and implementing them into their services without really even consulting their clients before doing these things, if that makes sense. You can go on some therapist websites now, and I'm like, I'm just sitting here scratching my head. Like, the first thing I see is, you know, tarot cards and chakras. And I'm like, okay, what does that have to do with a person's mental health counseling? And so there are people that practice those things, and that is absolutely their right. Just like I'm a Christian, that's my right. But even in the world of mental health, anytime things like that are implemented and introduced, it has to be in agreement with the clientele.
Absolutely.
But so that's one thing I'm seeing in the area of holistic health. And I believe that's another reason why when that topic comes up, a lot of Christians shy away. Because as soon as you say holistic health, people are thinking yoga, line your chakras up, sound bowls, sound baths, crystals, and all these different things that are, you know, that's what people practice, that's their right. But for a lot of Christians, the topic of holistic health can be off-putting. And when you say holistic health, it begins to draw a certain type of people. And so I think that's another thing that we have to look at when we talk about, like, misconceptions that people... I've seen people, I saw somebody put on social media basically that they didn't, basically almost like Christians aren't welcome when it comes to holistic health. Let me just make it very plain to try to simplify it. And that's one of the reasons why, because a lot of people in that space have, you know, different viewpoints and different beliefs. But ultimately, I just think we have been so unbalanced when it comes to spirituality and you know, even warfare and deliverance sometimes, that we don't know how to address other areas of our life from a natural and more practical perspective. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that is so, so true, you know, of what you said concerning even the verbiage of holistic health. I have encountered that myself by trade. I'm a licensed massage therapist.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in, you know, my training and different things like that, you know, encounter that early on.
Yeah.
And one of the things that, you know, God really allowed me to see the difference and really the fine line.
Yeah.
You know, between, you know, some of the things that they do. And it's just like some things I'm just not like, no, I don't believe in that. I don't do that. So if you're looking for that, then you have to go someplace else because I don't do that. And I do know that that is one of the reasons why a lot of Christians will kind of shy away from it for that very reason. But the Lord told me to don't be afraid because I've called you to that area. I've called you there because you understand the fine line that it is between the two. And so, you know, it doesn't bother me, you know, anymore. And so that's why I just always just continue to try to educate people and to give them the knowledge and information that they need so that they can make an informed decision. But a lot of what you have said is so very true. And do you find that it's different between the faith community and just everybody else? Or do you think that it's the same?
As far as their
as far as the attitude.
No, I think outside of the Christian faith, people are a lot of times more open. It just depends. Some people can still kind of be closed off. I think that what throws people off is a lot of times holistic health is led spiritually instead of practically. Mm-hmm. And so when you come at people immediately with spirituality, if it's not something they're in alignment with or agreement with, it's going to immediately be off-putting. But if mm-hmm. the topic of holistic health would be introduced as far as like, hey, holistic health just means we're dealing with every aspect of your health, of your total yes. being, everything that can impact your health, everything that makes up your core health as a human being, I think mm-hmm. people would be more open. But unfortunately, holistic health a lot of times is led by spirituality and spiritual practices and things mm-hmm. like that. And so whether people are believers or not, sometimes they can just kind of be like, you know, that's not for me. Because some people are just mm-hmm. like, hey, I'm not into anything when it comes to spirituality. And so mm-hmm. I think if we present it in a way where we're dealing more with, listen, we want to make sure that you're taking care of every aspect of your health, that you're mm-hmm. taking care of you as a total being, that's what matters. You know, it's like, okay, it's great. You know, you know, somebody may have hypertension and they may take, you know, medication for that, and that's fine. Also, we can also make sure in that case, the person is exercising and eating healthy and yes. trying to eliminate as much stress as possible, because stress is a mess, and I won't even go there. Yes. And so, you know, just realizing that it's just dealing with every area, every mm-hmm. aspect of your health. And so I think if we lead with that instead of leading with spirituality, it won't push so many people away. And I do think if spirituality is put in there as, of course, with your holistic health, that is a part of your health mm-hmm. and your well-being. Why? Because your what you believe has everything to do with your worldview. And a lot of your social health will be tied to your spiritual and religious beliefs and the community of people that surround you. And so those things can be very, very important to people. But mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of the issue. I think if we would stop leading it with, you know, beating drums and crystals mm-hmm. and, you know, burning sage and all that stuff, people would probably be more open if we lead from mm-hmm. more of a nutritional place, a dietary yes. place, a fitness and a wellness place, maybe even coming with the mental health piece. I think mm-hmm. people would listen more if holistic, because holistic health right now, it just seems like spirituality more than anything. You know, it seems like spirituality with a little bit of avocado with it. That's it. Avocado toast.
Yeah. But you're so right. You are so, I mean, that is, it is just, it's spot on. One of the things that the Lord had me to kind of run across that I was doing a presentation, I came across in my studies looking at the eight dimensions of wellness. So a lot of times that's what you'll hear me talk about. Excuse me. And in that, I find that it's just like you said, with leading with that, getting people to understand that you've got all of these other dimensions that all intersect with one another. And I think that is like a safe balance that I found that really works, where it's not just leading with the spirituality. Everything is all interconnected. So that's definitely spot on. Do you do any active like counseling or anything like that?
Right. Years ago, I was working. I received my temporary credentials through the state to do substance abuse counseling. I did that for a few years. But right now, I'm not doing any counseling because I'm preparing to go back to school. So preparing to get my terminal degree and be done. And so right now, I'm not really doing anything in that space right now. I could if I wanted to, but I'm not.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Cause it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot when you're into that counseling realm. I want to jump into you have hosted a Black Health Summit and then the Faith and Mental Health Summit. Can you give our listeners just a brief synopsis of what that is and when you are bringing those pieces together?
Okay. So with the Faith and Mental Health Summit, I had already been doing a lot of symposiums, webinars, and online teachings and stuff that kind of dealt in the area of dealing with the faith piece and the mental health piece. And for years, I got a lot of kickback. I got a lot of pushback, especially the charismatic community. A lot of leaders had a lot of issue with the things I was saying. Now, some of those same people now are proponents of counseling. But, this is after, I was basically shunned. But the Faith and Mental Health Conference or Summit, I've done that for several years. It's been virtual. It's also been hybrid. Last year, we did it live and virtually. Basically, what it is we want to make sure that as a church and a faith community, that when people come, they are helped and not harmed. And sometimes if we don't know, sometimes it just may be, I've had leaders say, I think something's going on with this person. And then they say, it sounds like, you may want to get them to a psychiatrist or get them to a licensed psychologist that can screen and assess them and really see what's going on. Because we have to, as a church, we have to have referrals to know what to do when people are having mental health crises. We need to know what to do when people show signs of mental health issues. I have lost count of the people you can Google if you want to, the number of people that have left the church because they have been hurt, embarrassed, belittled, demonized. We got to do better in how we treat people and realize these are people. Yes. And stop treating people, any kind of way just because they have mental health concerns. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure that we help and not harm. And so we do that by learning. We do that by having resources. We do that by having referrals. We do that by recognizing what can be handled in-house as a church and when people absolutely need help outside. We do not want to see, some stuff I'm not even going to say. We don't want to see something tragic happen in someone's life because we want to prove that we got the power and we can handle it. And listen, we have to know when people may need help beyond the altar. Yes. Beyond laying on of hands, beyond receiving a prophetic word. We have to recognize that there are people who have been very deeply damaged. I remember there were some young ladies, I believe they were out of Ohio, and the guy had kidnapped them. And I think he was raping and beating these girls for like 10 years they were missing. And so we have to recognize that there are people that have extremely just a lot of complex traumatic backgrounds, a lot of trauma, a lot of things that have to be dealt with in a private clinical settings. People need a safe space to unload things. No one should have to walk around in silence to prove that they love God. All these, you know, people walking around been raped as children. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is the world will embrace and allow people and give them room to get therapy and let their voice be heard and to find their voice again. So I really wish the church would embrace that. It's okay to realize we can have praise breaks and we can go to therapy afterwards. We can love God and people can get the help that they need so that they can heal and recover. And, you know, it's a sad day. You know, there are churches that have it in their bylaws that they don't believe in people getting counseling and getting therapy. And I feel like in situations like that, it's like, are we just collectors of the broken and the bound, keepers of those that are unhealed and wounded? Or are we going to realize that people deserve and they should be able to heal? There's safety in a multitude of counsel. People yes. need therapy. It's okay. And I always tell people, you know, find a good licensed Christian counselor, because right now Christian counseling has become a gimmick. And so you have people that are not Christians that market themselves as Christian counselors just to get clients. And so I tell people, you know, that's why I always try to have referrals available of reputable Christian counselors. And then you have to be careful. There are people that are Christian counselors that tell people all type of things that aren't biblical. Right. And so I can understand, you know, some of the pushback, but ultimately there's more help than harm out there. I tell people, if you go to a therapist and you don't like that therapist, or you don't feel they're a good fit for you, you have the right to find someone else. Mm-hmm. And I also tell people therapy is not just a box you should be checking and every, you know, I got my therapist, but are you getting better? Are you healing? Are you whole? Because the purpose of going to therapy is not just to say you have a therapist. It's so that you begin to overcome, to heal, become the better version of you. Because I've had to explain to people on multiple instances, you have to go to the right type of therapist.
That's so correct.
So you go to somebody that is a licensed marriage and family therapist, that's great, but that may not help you and you're hallucinating. So you have to go to someone that is able to handle what you are dealing with and can help you get better. And so I tell people that are extremely trauma, that have endured a lot of trauma, find someone that has extensive training in the area of dealing with people that have been, you know, dealt with a lot of trauma.
Yes.
And so, it's a lot to unpack. It's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we just have to continue to have the conversations because it's not going away. It's not going to go away, you know, and so the sooner and the quicker we embrace it, then I believe that the sooner and the quicker we begin to see people's lives change because they are getting the help that they need. So that's so good. I want to go ahead and just jump into about your new book. I do have two of your books here, Prophets of Mental Health is one of the books that I have. And then the other one is Deliverance and Mental Health. Excellent, excellent books. So I was blessed to be able to get those and have those in my library and use those. But tell us about the new book that's coming out.
Okay, so the new book almost was not a reality, but this book has been the most challenging book I've ever written. It has taken me years to get this book done because I kept putting it off, and it just felt so daunting, and every time I thought I was done, more would come to it. So this is the book. The book is titled Black Health, Considered from a Holistic Perspective. And so basically, the book is just written for everyday people, taking a lot of medical and scientific facts and just making them, putting them in a place where it's just visible to people, because everyday people are not going to go and look up a bunch of research and look at what the data says and pull all those. So that's what that is. It was me doing a lot of research and taking things and bringing it home just for anybody, because a lot of things are written in a way that it's not very, it's not written for people that may not be learned in those areas of academia. And right. so just try to make things a little simpler, make things easier for people to understand. The book is broken up into several sections. I think it's 32 chapters. A lot of them are not long. The book is only, for somebody to be like, 37? The book is only 199 pages. And I think that's including the front matter. There's quotes in between and stuff like that. So it's not as long as it seemed. But this book definitely took me a long time. I've been very apprehensive and maybe even a little scared to put this book out there because it's different. It's not a book that is just a straight Christian topic. I'm talking about health. I start with physiological health. We go to mental health. We look at holistic health. We look at a lot of things that may be affecting Black health, such as elevated blood levels, Black children and mental health, Black women and hair loss, Black men and prostate cancer, just a lot of things. I talk about Black women and maternal health, and I talk about my story because I wanted 5 children, but I only have 2. And it was because of the terrible pregnancies I had. I had 2 very, very, very awful pregnancies. The first pregnancy ended in placenta abruption, but I didn't even know that until my second pregnancy. I knew I had placenta previa, you know, the placenta was starting to pull away because I believe the placenta was partially covering my cervix. But I do remember that pregnancy ended in an emergency C-section, but I was never told why until my second pregnancy. And there's like a whole, there's so much I could say behind that. But my second pregnancy was the absolute worst. A week after I had my child, when I went back for my checkup, I had lost 55 pounds. I looked like an 80-year-old lady. My skin was hanging. My muscles were hanging. I walked hunched over. It literally took me years to recover. And so I talk all about that pregnancy. It was really terrible, what I endured. And so that's why I only have 2 children. I wanted more children. Oh, I think I accidentally hit my camera button. But yeah, so I talk about that along with, I think my camera, sorry. It must have turned off and switched.
Okay, there we go.
I talked about that. I talked about, you know, I think it's important that we talk about elevated blood lead levels. I don't think a lot of people know about that. I remember when the Flint water crisis hit, because I'm right here in Michigan. There was a news station that posted something one time and I never forgot it. They posted some of the effects that lead can have on people. And it caused me to pause. You know, they were talking about aggressive behavior, learning disabilities, and all this different stuff. And I started, you know, going down the rabbit hole with that. And I also said, I think anybody in a lower income community would be wise to check their water. And since then, you know, another city in Michigan, Benton Harbor, Michigan has got called out for water issues. Three River, Michigan got called out for water issues. We've seen water issues in, what was it, Jackson, Mississippi or Jacksonville, Mississippi?
Jackson.
Okay. Jackson, Mississippi. And we keep seeing this stuff pop up. And I don't really think we are as aware of it as we should be. I don't think people really understand the dangers, and that people that live in older housing and lower income neighborhoods are more prone to be at risk of being exposed to lead in the water, mm-hmm. in the paint, in the soil, all around them. We've seen multiple recalls in the news about what? Lead in the food, cadmium mm-hmm. in the food. Mm-hmm. So this is a bigger thing, I think, than we really understand. I believe in the years to come, we're going to find out that lead is kind of like a silent monster in the background that no one's really paying attention to.
Wow. That's really interesting that that you said that. Just thinking about I'm trying to not to go off a topic. But we have our prayer ministry have received a word about praying for the water in Ohio. And so we did some spiritual mapping, did a prophetic act, put feet in the water, you know, just did what God had us to do. But what we found out as we were mapping things out was very eye-opening. Yeah. Like you said, you know, when we don't know and just some of the things that the Lord began to speak to us, a lot of it has to do with environmentally. A lot of these companies, you know, that know they are releasing things, you know, into the air, into the water. Okay. And, you know, so many people, you know, dying of just all kinds of diseases, cancers, just so many things. Even when I look at my dad's family, they grew up by one of the steel mills.
Okay, yeah.
My dad worked at General Motors in the paint department.
Okay.
And the only one, all of my dad's, you know, my dad passed in 2022, yeah. And he only has one brother that's still living out of the five of them. They all had cancer.
Wow.
You know, and so when I think about those things, you know, it's a real thing. And I believe that we have to continue to have these conversations. Even when you think about gentrification, mm-hmm. I don't know why this is coming, but this is what I'm seeing. And when they are tearing down a lot of the, you know, the older housings and things like that, is it something that they know that they're not saying?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just something that I'm going to have to make a mental note of that. But because I think that all of that is all connected.
It is.
It's all tied into what's not being said and what's not being talked about.
I think one thing about it, you know, when you start talking about these companies and stuff, that was one of the components of the Black holistic health model that I present in the book. I talk about environmental health. And, you know, unfortunately, when you live in a lower income neighborhood, there's a, you know, they're not going to go to Beverly Hills and dump all those toxins into mm-hmm. the water, in the air. They're not going to come with all that noise pollution over there. They're going to put it in right. neighborhoods where people, a lot of times, are lower income. And maybe renters, so they don't have as many rights and things, and you know, and things like that. It's not right. I'm just talking about the reality. And mm-hmm. You know, there was even, I think, a lawsuit where I live about there's a company that has been releasing stuff. It stinks. And I believe there was lawsuits because people said it was affecting their health, and people said that they had all type of health issues behind it. And so environmental health and environment, you know, your environment can affect your health. And then if you add stress mm-hmm. to it, stress weakens your body, it weakens your immune system. So what? You can be more susceptible to any toxins or anything that are in your mm-hmm. environment. And so unfortunately, yeah. you know, lower income neighborhoods, a lot of times are neglected when it comes to environmental, you know, environmental health and really looking at the safety of the people and things like that. And so, you know, what you said, you know, it's spot on, and it's true. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't think people realize that are interconnected.
Mm-hmm. So very true. So very true. Well, I have one more question, and then we will get ready to wrap it up.
Okay.
Can you share one of your success stories or a particular case where a holistic approach made a significant difference either in your life or someone else's life?
Oh, yeah. I have I've worked with people too, because a lot of times I will encounter people maybe in a church setting or, you know, depending on how I met them, you know, I'm always about dealing with the areas that need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And so for some people, the most pressing issue was, you need to, you know, they may need to go to therapy, or you may need, here, what can I do to help you to, you know, find someone to help you get your finances together? What can I do to, let's sit down, let's get your resume and cover letter together so you can get better employment, so that your financial health can get to a place where your life can be better. Because I believe finances impact your life in a lot of ways. You don't have finances and you know, you may not be able to get mental health treatment. If you don't have finances, mm-hmm. you may not be able to pay for medication. You may not have transportation. You may not be able to eat quality food. And so I have found that sometimes helping people get their financial life together, whether that's by pointing them to someone that can help them get their finances together, or helping them obtain better employment, pointing people towards people that can help them with their diet and exercise. And so for me, because people a lot of times lead, or they know me from a church mm-hmm. setting, I'm always looking at what are the practical things that can be done to help your life to get better.
Yes.
Because a lot of times people in the church love God, faithful mm-hmm. to God. It's other things that they need help with. They may need accountability to, hey, let's make sure you're getting to the gym, you know, every week. You know, let's make sure you're eating healthier. You know, what can we do to help you and hold you accountable in that area? And so I have seen people's lives get better by looking at things outside of the church, or what the church mm-hmm. would normally look at. You know, have you been at Bible study every week, or, you know, had, you know, those type of things, like mm-hmm. outside of, are you doing your duty as a Christian? What does your life look like? And I think as far as this podcast, as far as holistic life, I think it's very spot on, because a lot of times that's why so many people are duped in the church world, because all we look at is the spiritual part. Okay, they prophesy good, they preach good, and they look, you know, they look the part, but we don't look at the other aspects of a person's life. And so mm-hmm. in general, what has helped me see some success in people's lives and walking with people and working with people and dealing with people is looking at every aspect of their life and what can be done immediate. What is something that sometimes there's always immediate needs, or there's things that you can do immediately that will help their life get better, to see some progress, mm-hmm. to see some improvement. And so that's how I look at it. I'm always looking at, you know, what can be done outside of, you know, what we all already do in a church setting. What can be done to help your life flourish?
Yes, that is so good. And that becomes very important. And it's really important when we think about it coming from the top down. And so when you have leaders who are in tune and kind of make those things a priority, integrating those practical things into their ministries, I tend to see that they are more healthier and their people are thriving more than those who don't. And so I believe that, you know, leaders play a big role, a big part, you know, in that, you know. And so again, you know, just continuing to share the message out about the benefits of holistic wellness, and how we can, in a practical manner, integrate it into every area, you know, of our lives. And so I tell you, This has been great. I have enjoyed our conversation, interview on tonight. And let our listeners know where they can find out more information and also about your upcoming projects and just let us know how they can stay in contact with you. I did put your website up there.
Okay, perfect. So you see the website, DeandreaBolden.com. My website for faith and mental health is faith and mental health, literally spelled out faithandmentalhealth.net. My website for my newest book, which is Black Health, the website is blackhealthbook.com. And other than that, you can, there's email. My email is hello@deandreabolden.com. And other than that, I'm on social media by my name. So you can feel free to drop me a personal message or a line and I will try to get back with you. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, again, thank you just for taking some time out of your schedule to be here and just to have this conversation. I'm sure that there will be times where we will, I'll have you back on to discuss even more, especially I hear you have a profile, in your book. And so I believe that, again, it's a tool that could benefit so many that are in this area of holistic health. And so just thank you for your time on tonight. And I look forward to, again, connecting more and just hearing more about all of the great things that you are doing to keep us in the know, of a holistic health and wellness. And so thank you so much for being with us on tonight.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, I hope that this has been a blessing to you. Please make sure that you go and you follow DeAndrea on her social media. Go to her website, sign up for her contact list, her email list, so that you can stay in the know of what's going on. I am Shelby Frederick, the host of Holistic Life Podcast, also known as Lady Jules. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you on the airwaves the next time we come on. All right. Blessings.